views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
You are listening to Golden Otter Divinations, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in 9 a.m. Pacific the first Friday of every month as Autumn helps you manifest your dreams by connecting to loved ones in spirit, empowering you to find both physical and spiritual healing. Are you ready to transform your life and connect to divine guidance through practical strategies? Golden Otter Divinations is the place to find engaging interviews with medical experts, practicing mediums, intuitives, healers, and many more. Now, here's your host, Autumn Seibel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Autumn, and you're listening to Golden Otter Divinations on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour as we explore where the metaphysical meets the mainstream. And remember to join us live each first Friday of the month at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, when we have new informative and engaging interviews with medical experts, practicing mediums, intuitives, healers, and many more to help uplift, educate, and empower listeners like you to find the physical and spiritual healing by recognizing daily miracles and manifestations sent by spirit. So today I have an incredible guest that I'm so excited about. Her name is Dr. Baylor, and she is here to discuss how to take your health into your own hands by making those 15 minutes with your doctor count. This interview can help you familiarize yourself with the health education available to patients before they enter the exam room. And for anyone who has read my full bio on goldenotter.us, Dr. Baylor is the healer that I've learned the most from throughout my life, as she's not only a highly sought-after medical provider known for her uncanny ability to diagnose and treat rare and difficult illnesses, she's also my mother, who I am so happy to have the honor of interviewing and introducing to you all. So she gave birth to me, and it's only right that as I give birth to this radio show, Golden Otter Divinations, she's here to for the first episode. So let's all welcome Dr. Baylor to Golden Otter Divinations. Hey, Mom.
Hi, honey. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much for being here for my first show. I thought that you would be a great guest, A, because I learned everything I know about healing from you as in a mainstream forum, and now I've gone a lot metaphysical, but you always keep me grounded in the practical scientific approach to understanding healing, health, and wellness. And you're kind of my touchstone when it comes to things like that. Even though in my early years, a lot of times I didn't always take your medical advice. And now I'm like, okay, what do you say? Because I realize that you are bridging both worlds in a very practical way. So thank you for coming on. So before we start, I like to raise our vibration for everyone listening and to really get in the flow. And I always start by asking my guests if they've had any golden moments lately. Golden meaning a time you were just totally in the flow, or an interaction that you knew was sent by spirit. Something that maybe made your heart sing or just put a smile on your face. So have you had any golden moments lately?
Oh my goodness. Well, I just spent a week with my two beautiful granddaughters and my beautiful daughter and my totally awesome son-in-law. So I had lots of golden moments there. But the most recent one, if you just want my very own, on 4th of July, I decided to follow my own advice and take a little ride on my bicycle in the woods. And I was going up this hill, had my headphones on, and all of a sudden my music stopped. And I looked over I felt somebody watching me. And I looked over, and here was a deer standing perfectly still like a statue, just standing there staring at me. Normally, when that something happens, you make eye contact, an animal will run away. But this deer just stood there and stared at me. I was able to get my camera out and video it. And then, you know, she eventually ran off into the woods. And I just thought that was such a beautiful moment. It's not common to see just one deer by itself, especially a doe. And we just kind of had a moment, this deer and I. And then I got back on my bike, and it was a hot day. But I was out in the woods, so it was just gorgeous. And the next thing I came to is this old cemetery. And I've lived in this area for a long time when, you know, growing up, and I never knew this old cemetery was there. And I love old cemeteries for many reasons. But I took the time and stopped and went up and walked through this old cemetery and looked at the gravestones and just felt connected to all the people that were there. And anyway, I don't know if they were talking to me or what, but it gave me a sense of peace. And I felt reverent towards them, and I felt that they were remembered on that 4th of June. You know, I send a little shout out up to all the little souls that were still buried there in that little cemetery.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us. Kind of reminds me of back home in Alaska, when you'll be driving along and you'll look over and there'll just be a moose. And you're like, oh, hello, moose. And it's such a majestic thing that it makes you stop and take inventory and just pause and look and really revel in the beauty that this planet we call Earth has to share with us. Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing with that. All right, so let's get into medicine. And we're discussing where the metaphysical meets the mainstream being you are a licensed medical internist. Can you give us a little bit about your credentials and the years of that you've practiced?
Well, I think probably, you know, and I'll try to make it quick, but what inspired me to become a physician is I always wanted to be a veterinarian from the time that I was born, practically, according to my mother. All I could think about were animals. And as I grew, the most influential person in my life was my grandma. She had rheumatoid arthritis. You'd never know it. She never complained. And she owned a general store. And I grew up helping her in her general store. She used to scoot around in an old telephone operator's chair with little wheels on it. She never even used a wheelchair, and used her cane to get around. But she'd always say to me, be a people doctor. And I would always just laugh. And I'd say, Grandma, you know I love animals. So when I was around 12 years old, she had a stroke, and then she had a series of strokes. And her health continued to deteriorate. And back then, there was no such thing as hospice or home health care. Families took care of each other. I was the oldest daughter. Both of my parents worked. Luckily, we lived next to my grandmother, but I was the one that was, I mean, there was no questions asked. I was the one that spent the nights with her, and I just slept on a couch next to her bed. And I can still to this day hear her voice calling out to me in the night. And one of the last things she ever said to me before she died was to be a people doctor.
And that was your grandmother?
That was my grandmother, yeah, my little soulmate. And, you know, it's funny because I still, hard-headed as I am, I still continued to want to be an animal doctor right up until I became a pharmaceutical. After college, I needed to pay back my college debt. So I got in the workforce and ended up being a pharmaceutical representative. And after about a year of it, I realized what I really loved about my job was not talking to the doctors, but sitting in the waiting rooms and speaking with the patients. And I got to thinking, people just really want somebody to talk to. They just want to be heard and listened to. And I realized at that moment that doctors were missing the boat making the diagnosis themselves because the patients held the answers. So, and then I called on a group of doctors that were medical students, and they inspired me to go to medical school. And it, I guess there was never any, I was tempted by emergency medicine, tempted briefly by pediatrics, very tempted by going into a subspecialty, hematology, oncology, and gastroenterology. But my love was taking internal medicine, taking care of the whole body in a rural territory where I could run the full gamut of being everybody's subspecialist. So that's what gravitated me to internal medicine. After medical school, believe it or not, I went into the Army because my husband at the time was stationed at Hickam Air Force Base, and the civilian programs were just getting started in Hawaii. So I chose to join the Army, where their training program in the Army was just as intensive as any Army Ranger program. Yeah. It was see one, do one, teach one. And that was probably one of the, I say that was a godsend, because I cherished the training that I got in the military. Not only was it see one, do one, teach one, but we were the referral territory for the entire, what we call the trust territories, Micronesia.
That's right. We were just talking about this, and I mean, you've been my mom for all these years, and I never knew this part of your training, which explains why you have such a depth of knowledge. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah. Well, your father was so spooked out by the whole thing. He'd make me shower before I, as soon as I'd get in the house, I'd have to shower before I could touch you kids, because I saw, and I thought that was overkill, but I did it anyway, just to ease his mind. But who sees and treats leprosy nowadays?
Yeah.
Of course, since we took care of patients from the trust territories, there was, nobody likes to think or talk about World War II, but that's where all the nuclear testing took place. So the diseases and disorders we saw were literally unheard of in the world. We have so many case reports that came out of that area, especially since the patients from there would wait until the very end of their life almost to seek medical mm-hmm. care. And then we were also the VA for the local area, and that's a huge population in Hawaii, because you have Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, Marines, and a lot of people end up retiring there and using the VA. We were also the referral area for all the embassies from Japan, Okinawa, Guam, the Philippines, as well as the referral, the next level of care. We were the tertiary care center for all of the military bases in Asia, Japan, Korea, Philippines, and Guam, and all the outposts.
Yep. All right. So let's hold that thought for 1 second. Thank you for giving us that background. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about your transition from the Army to Alaska and starting being a partner in community health. So you're listening to Golden Otter Radio with Autumn Seibel. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I will be exploring more about becoming a partner with your physician with Dr. Natalie Baylor. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Practice living in wholeness with the Body Tune-Up. 6 classes for $89 designed for radical self-healing and self-regeneration. Heal the deepest root of any challenge. The mental body was programmed in negativity, not good enough, separate from source, you're too much, you'll never make it. The emotional body holds all the pain and trauma of emotional suppression, all the pain from this life and life's past. The spiritual body is the place you connect with your higher power, your higher self, with the image and likeness of the One. The physical body houses and expresses the other three bodies every day. Go to CorneliaStephanie.com. Evolve, become a practitioner. We need to heal, integrate, and bring into wholeness and harmony the physical body, addressing all the other bodies in order to live in our true, authentic nature.
Are you looking to grow spiritually, expand your consciousness, increase psychic abilities? Well, there's a free app for that. Pure Light offers audios that transmit high spiritual frequencies to help you awaken to your full potential. Hundreds of audios created by some of the world's top energy healers, and many are free. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit purelightaudio.com.
Could you swim with sharks? Is fear holding you back from living your life? The time is now to jump in and be courageous. Shelly Ryan has created a retreat to help you move past your fears with confidence. Join her June 30th through July 7th in Mexico. Have some fun, relax. Plus, you'll have the opportunity to be courageous with a whale and shark adventure. For more information, visit yournextchaptercoaching.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Radio with Autumn Seibel. My guest today is Dr. Natalie Baylor, who will be talking to us about becoming a partner with your physician. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact Dr. Baylor. So could you give us the best contact information for our listeners?
The best way to contact me would be through Golden Otter Divinations, the website, and yep. I believe Facebook page too. Call 800.
No, that's perfect. Yeah, so we are actually going to be taking live calls. So if you want to call in and speak to Dr. Baylor and ask a medical-related question or spiritual, metaphysical, mainstream, she's open to it all, call 1-800-930-2819. The phone lines will be open. Again, the number is 800-930-2819. Give us a call. We'd love to chat. So now that we're back, Dr. Baylor, we're going to talk about your transition from Army medicine, where it sounds like you experienced a real depth and breadth of training that most doctors only get to read about in case studies. And you saw a lot of disorders and diseases that were thought to be extinct and got a lot of experience treating patients that had waited until their symptoms were pretty extreme before seeking treatment. So with that training, I'd like to talk to you about how you decided where you wanted to open your own practice and why you chose rural medicine.
I think predominantly it was going back to the experience with my grandmother and growing up in a rural town, Cyclone, Pennsylvania. I was much more comfortable with the country. We were transferred to Fort Richardson, Alaska, and Autumn's dad was in the Air Force there. And the moment the kids and I got off the plane, I felt like I was home. I don't know if anybody out there can relate to that. You know, sometimes you're like, do I belong here? But the moment that we all got off the plane, I was holding Autumn and her brother Augie's hands. And it's funny because there's all of my children's names begin, and I couldn't help but thinking when I got off the airplane, there's gold in them there hills. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I saw was this rainbow, and I thought, I wonder if there's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. And it's ironic because both Augie and Autumn had already been born. Their brother Austin came along later, but by then you had to have three AUs.
So it sounds like you followed your intuition to Alaska.
Correct.
And then out, rural community?
I was at Fort Richardson, Alaska, which is a little rural. It's on the outskirts of Anchorage. And then I knew that I wanted to go into private practice, so I started doing what's called locums tenens, and I started working out in the little town Palmer, Alaska. And it was that same feeling when you drive out, if you ever read the book Alaska, and go through the part where they talk about how the settlers came. That's where the settlers came early on. And it just, you drive out through those beautiful mountains and then this valley opens up and it's literally to me heaven.
And that's where you wanted to
that's
be a part
where
of
I knew
community.
I used to joke when people would ask me because I wouldn't go into that whole explanation, but I'd say, well, there were no stoplights and there was only one stop sign and no stoplights at that time. And I kind of liked that. But it gave me the opportunity to fully take care of an entire community the way I felt that I could deliver healthcare the best, and that was treating the whole patient and the whole body and put all of my talents that I had learned through my military experience. And then intuitively from what God had given me is I feel we all have talents, and God gave me the talent to heal people, diagnose and heal people. And then, of course, my experience with my grandmother and And I just felt that it was a beautiful place to raise children, too. I mean, talk nowadays they call it, what, free-range children? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at my daughter. She's the definition of free-range. It was accepted. It was not just expected, but it wasn't just accepted back then. It was expected, you know, kind of survival of the fittest.
I do have an aversion to shoes. Dan's always on me. I'll run out into the just totally barefoot. He's like, shoes. I'm like, why? Why? So let's talk about establishing healthy community habits. And what is preventative medicine exactly?
Preventative medicine, you know, I should probably look up the actual definition, but my definition would be a person taking basically responsibility for their own future health. Mm-hmm. And as a physician, I know this sounds crazy, but that's probably the hardest thing to get through to patients. And, you know, many physicians absolutely abhor the internet and all this information that gets bombarded to patients. Because let's face it, there's a lot of misinformation out there. But I feel that it has helped me tremendously communicate with my patients because you at least establish a frame of reference. You know what their expectations are, what they're thinking, you know, as long as you ask them. Some patients fear being judged by bringing up something they might have read on the internet and are quiet, and then they leave the doctor's office disappointed because a physician hasn't brought up something maybe they read. So I've always encouraged people to talk freely about anything they've heard, any perceptions, whether they're misperceptions or truth, that they may have regarding their symptoms, their diagnosis, you know, pre-diagnoses that have been made, et cetera. So I usually start from scratch with patients and go forward in talking about the preventative.
It's a really proactive approach to making your physician your partner, because they are no longer the holder of all knowledge. Physicians are more guides on the side that are there to help you in, you know, in an emergency situation, but also be your partner. And I totally agree with you on that. That's something that I think growing up watching you be a physician for 30 years, and I sat in I don't know how many patient rooms, I don't know how many hours I spent sitting in your waiting room entertaining guests while you were entertaining patients while you were seeing other patients. And a lot of it was like, well, why are you here today? And they would tell me, and then I, you know, just have these really great conversations. And it's a lot like what you said, it's just needing someone to listen. And when I did my health coaching training, that was one of the main things that they said is, we just need somebody to kind of be a sounding board and to hold the space, because we have all the knowledge that we need to heal ourselves within ourselves. But sometimes we need to kind of excavate it and dig in there. And when you find a partner, a physician that's willing to be your guide on the side instead of the holder of all the knowledge that there is, it's really a beautiful relationship, because they're there to hold the space for you to heal, but you're doing the work that it takes to really have long-term healing. And that's actually something I wanted to talk to you about what role, having practiced medicine in Alaska, which is a subsistence culture, what role on longevity do you think that nutrition and living habits have?
Oh, I think it has an incredible role. I want to get back to that, but I have to say something about preventative health and kind of evolution. I feel like we're going through an evolution, but it's not just an evolution, but it's a full circle. Uh-huh. Because being 64 years old and starting medicine when I was at like 30, basically, at 30, I was taking care of people in their 80s. And I've taken care of multi-generations. And what I see in the older generations that are kind of passing through, most of them, like let's say when I was 30, the 70, 80-year-olds, they had a kind of almost a fatalistic approach to life. What will be, you know, they really didn't. They didn't care or even know much about preventative health. They just knew what worked for their ancestors and what had been passed down to them. Mm-hmm. But through the generations of what I see coming up now, whether it's the internet, whether it's the fact that people realize that they have to take responsibility for their own care. But I see this next generation being much more partners, like you mentioned, in their healthcare, which is a huge relief to me, because up until now, I felt like I'd lay awake at night worried about, will they show up for their mammogram? Did I explain to them the important, you know, I felt mm-hmm. like I had to practically go to people's houses and take them by the hand and take them to their appointments because they didn't realize the importance. But this newer generation seems much more educated.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just felt like I needed to say that and give your profession with the health coaching a shout out as well as people participating. And then back to your question about subsistence, because it kind of feeds into that.
Yeah.
You know, the older generations didn't realize the health benefits. They were in survival mode, you know, mm-hmm. hunter-gatherers, basically. And, you know, they if their lifespan was shortened, it was only because of the risky nature of their hunting and gathering.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, nowadays, the hunters and gatherers, they know about preventative health. They know that they shouldn't be smoking, shouldn't be drinking. So when you combine that aspect with their knowledge, plus the hunting and gathering aspect, they're burning their calories while they're hunting and gathering their food. They're eating meat that's not tainted or, you know, or blueberries, things that are gathered in nature.
Non-genetically modified, no additives. They're from the earth, organic.
From the earth. You have to work for it. And then it just, the food tastes better. I don't know what it is when you gather your own food. Maybe it's because you relate the experience. You know, how they always say presentation is everything. Well, I think mm-hmm. gathering is everything too. Like, you know, like when we would go fish salmon, you know, when you would eat that salmon on your plate, you'd think about the actual fishing of it. And I don't know if that turns on some sort of something in our pineal glands or something in the brain. I don't know if anybody's ever studied it actually, but that would be an interesting medical study, I think. But I think it's a very, very positive aspect when people stop and have those golden moments, as you said, you know, and we'll look at the Native Indians, how they did with their hunting and gathering.
Yeah. You know what? I want to talk a lot more about that, but we have to take a quick break. So hold that thought. And I want to make sure we have plenty of time to capture the whole idea. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Golden Otter Divinations with me, Autumn Seibel. And our guest today is Dr. Natalie Baylor. When we get back, we'll talk more about subsistence living versus living on the economy and how city dwellers or non-rural residents can mimic a subsistence lifestyle. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be right back.
Juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Could you swim with sharks? Is fear holding you back from living your life? The time is now to jump in and be courageous. Shelly Ryan has created a retreat to help you move past your fears with confidence. Join her June 30th through July 7th in Mexico. Have some fun, relax. Plus, you'll have the opportunity to be courageous with a whale and shark adventure. For more information, visit yournextchaptercoaching.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. Parenting will always be a bit of a mystery. Who knows why some parenting ideas work and others do not? Or why some kids seem to succeed despite family setbacks, while others have so much given to them and yet fail to thrive? The one thing we do know is that once you have a child, you'll never be quite the same again. Awe-inspiring emotions like overwhelming love, extreme guilt, intense frustration, and incredible joy make this job second to none. Breaking free of parenting pressures means recognizing the pieces that make us unique, the pieces that we carry with us from the past, and the pieces that are influenced by the society we live in. When we can pick and choose which pieces we want to keep around and change the others to align with our inner wisdom, we will feel more self-assured in our role as a parent.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Are you looking to grow spiritually, expand your consciousness, increase psychic abilities? Well, there's a free app for that. Pure Light offers audios that transmit high spiritual frequencies to help you awaken to your full potential. Hundreds of audios created by some of the world's top energy healers, and many are free. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit purelightaudio.com.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
We are back on Golden Otter Radio with me, Autumn Seibel. I have Dr. Natalie Baylor here discussing the bridge between the metaphysical and the mainstream in the medical profession based on her 35 years as a practicing medical internist. She's going to give us some tips on making the most of our 15 minutes with the doctor. But first, we're going to finish up some questions about subsistence living and how people who live in the city can mimic that lifestyle. Also, Dr. Baylor will be taking your questions live towards the end of the segment. So if you want to call in and get any kind of medical question answered, the call-in number is 1-800-930-2819. That's 1-800-930-2819. We look forward to hearing from you. So Dr. Baylor, right before we went to break, we were talking about the role that nutrition and living habits have on longevity. Specifically, we were talking about subsistence living, which is organic, eating close to the ground, no genetically modified organisms or additives. It's kind of this hunter-gatherer mentality of your caloric expenditures equaling your caloric consumption, and as a way to keep your metabolism regulated and kind of tuning into the cycle of life. And that's something you'd mentioned earlier on the show, is this cycle of life of patients that you had seen early in your practice as a doctor were a little bit fatalistic about their health and just kind of accepted whatever was going to be will be. And newer generations, or the present mindset, is becoming a partner with your physician. So how can people become a partner with their physician?
First foremost, go ahead.
I should say, how can people embrace a subsistence lifestyle, even if they don't live, even if they live in the city, to become a partner with their physician? That's probably the best way to phrase that.
Yeah, you don't have to live out in the sticks of Alaska to live a subsistence lifestyle. You could start off by, there's many organic farms nowadays that sell their produce at very reasonable rates. So you can always shop organically and support your local farmers too in the process. Mm-hmm. As you probably are aware, they're under the gun by big business as well. So that being said, there's a lot of things you can do. If you live in a high-rise apartment and have a little bit of a balcony, you can have an herb garden. You don't even need a balcony for an herb garden. You can do that over your kitchen sink. They have all kinds of little pop-up indoor gardens, which is, you know, it's not the same as sunlight, but it's certainly a start. You can have tomato plants. You can grow in practically anything, even a little burlap bag. And what's healthier than tomatoes, as long as you're not allergic to it? Tomatoes, potatoes, you can grow all kinds of root vegetables. Outside of corn on the cob, you can grow just about anything on your balcony and enough to feed a family. I doubt that you're allowed to have chickens in the city, but there are many places nowadays in the suburbs and cities that are zoned to have, I think, like one or two chickens. So that's even a thought, to grow your own eggs. Remember, we went to New Zealand, how we couldn't believe that even in the cities, every single household had a sheep in the backyard.
Yeah.
If you remember that. So it can be done.
And then you said when shopping, you know, try to walk to the grocery store if you can. And that, I think that's something really interesting, this idea of, you know, we grew up in a rural community where if we did go to the grocery store, it was like you packed your car because it was an hour drive. But then we did have, you know, moose in the freezer, salmon in the freezer. The bulk of our our meat was from subsistence, but then you supplement based on where you live. But then can you talk about shopping the perimeter?
Correct. In the grocery stores, I always tell my patients, it's just an easy rule of thumb for them to remember instead of, oh, she said to get broccoli or, you know, whatever. I always say shop the perimeter, stay out of the aisles. In the aisles of the store, of course, where everything has the preservatives and it's boxed. And, you know, and that's all well and good if that's all that you have at your disposal. But for the most part, you want to do daily shopping, just like people with a garden. They go out and pick what's ripe that day. So, you know, I would say if you have the capabilities, walk to your local market every single day and get just what you need for that day or maybe
yes.
2 days. But don't stock up your refrigerator for weeks on end and get things that are going to go bad anyway.
It leads into a cycle of wastefulness that, you know, we talk about in American consumerism. We buy everything we think we're going to need, and then we end up throwing out the majority of it. So if you really only buy what you know you're going to consume, it's inconvenient in this fast-paced lifestyle that we live. And, you know, I'm a mother. I work full-time. We've got so many demands on our time. But it's slowing down literally meal by meal helps kind of cut that frenetic pace a little bit. And then you talked about getting outside and getting grounded for emotional health. You talked about eating as close to the source as possible, which kind of mimics indigenous living that our ancestors used to do, and talk about the benefits of gardening and connecting with the earth. How, in your clinical experience, what do you see with patients who live those types of lifestyles, who are eating closer to the earth?
Right. One of the most commonly questions I get asked is what source of vitamin D should I take? Because basically humans get vitamin D from two sources naturally, the sunlight, and then our bodies synthesize it, or food sources. So if you think about where we basically evolved, and some people don't like to hear that word evolve, but where we came from originally, when I have a patient who's asking me, what source of vitamin D, and they're obviously of Norwegian descent, I said, well, you probably need sources of vitamin D like D2 from fish, from the ocean, because that's where your ancestors got it, and your body is most likely to assimilate it better versus...
Have you ever seen the literature on the blood type diet? There's a nutritionist, doctor. You've seen that? The blood type diet where you eat... there are certain foods that are better for certain blood types based on your genetics. I mean, now they have on TV that you can actually send away kits to see what specific food allergies you may or may not have. But that goes back to the conversation of becoming a partner with your physician, not waiting until you're, you know, terminally ill to get help. It's like, when are you not feeling so great?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Unfortunately, We're all a melting pot now, and many of us have so many different genetic roots that it would be hard to tell. So for the most part, if you don't have that at your disposal, or let's say a patient's adopted and really doesn't know what they are, then getting a little bit from all those sources. Patients are drawn to me for is my belief that if I don't argue with anything that works. And it all does start with a belief system. And if a patient really believes that something's going to work for them, you know, I'll say, well, you know what? Let's try it out. Let's do Western version and whatever version works for you. And 9 times out of 10, that is the key. And even the major medical centers now, like the major cancer centers in the United States, have all, they call it integrated medicine because they've realized that the mind-body connection is indisputable. It's scientifically proven. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if we came back to the original question of subsistence, but back to, you mentioned something about...
We have a caller who called in, who wrote in, Sandy in Seattle, wanted to know, are there... Oh, hi, Sandy! Mm-hmm. She said, I've heard that there are certain items are less important to buy organic than others. Is that true? So in health coaching, we talk a lot about the dirty dozen. So those are produce that are named for the worst pesticide exposure. So that's another, you know, reason why buying organic is so important, is this what's being done to our soil and the amount of pesticides that are being sprayed on our foods. You know, we pay a lot of attention to the quality of water that we're drinking, but not necessarily what is happening to our food before we get it. So to answer Sandy's questions, this year's list of fruits and vegetables that have the most pesticide residue are strawberries, apples, nectarines, peaches, celery, grapes, cherries, spinach, tomatoes, sweet bell peppers, cherry tomatoes, and cucumbers. So those are, that's produce that has a permeable layer on the outside. Hope that answers your question, Sandy. Before we go to break, Dr. Billy, do you have any other organics that are less?
To that list that you just mentioned, I would say at least half of them you could obtain. Like I have an apple tree in my yard. You know, you can find sources of your own organic food where you know that the soil is untainted. And I had mentioned to you before, Autumn, you didn't realize it. I used to worry that we lived, even though we were in Alaska, a power line was not far from our house. There's so many different things that go into what we put into our bodies that we're not even aware of. But that's why taking control and having control of your own food source is probably the best. If you have the ability to see where it's grown and or even grow it yourself. And I think that's why, going back to your question about Alaska, we see where our food's grown. We know where the moose have been on our dinner table. We know where the salmon what rivers they've been in, the oceans that they've swum in. And so that's real important. Whereas we don't know where some of our fruits and vegetables have come from that says made in Mexico. I mean, where did it travel and what's it been exposed?
Yeah, I did a lesson for
night. Yeah, I told a mother last night, she was at my house and she was picking raspberries off the raspberry bush to give to her son. And I knew that I had sprayed it with some Meat's Foot oil a couple days ago. And I thought, I wonder if that's off. And just as she was about ready to put it in his mouth, I said, you better spit on that raspberry first.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, mother's saliva is the most common household cleaner. You know, nothing cleans a piece of fruit off better than your own saliva. So she did. And because the little boy is only two, he was trying so hard to get that raspberry his mouth. And I don't know if Meat's Foot oils.
So we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, Dr. Baylor will explain to us what listeners need to do about making the most of the 15 minutes that they have in the exam room with their doctor. So you're listening to, this is me, Autumn, on Golden Otter Radio. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern. And for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's HIRE learners.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. call in for intuitive readings and visit jenroyster.com for more information.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yes! Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
We are back on Golden Otter Radio with me, Autumn Seibel. I have Dr. Baylor here discussing the bridge between the metaphysical and the mainstream in the medical profession. She's taking your calls live, so if you'd like to call in and have a question answered, it's 1-800-930-2819. Again, that's 1-800-930-2819. So Dr. Baylor is going to give us some tips now for making the most of those 15 minutes in the exam room with your doctor count. But first, she wants to talk about dirt. Dr. Baylor?
I know. I was just thinking during that break, some of the points I wanted to make real quick. I don't know if any of you listeners out there love rainstorms and going outside after a rainstorm. There's that clean smell, that earthy smell, and how it just makes you happy, even though it just rained. That's the best time to take off your shoes and walk barefoot through the grass. Dirt has a natural antidepressant in it. Well, actually, it has a microorganism, if you want to know the science of it, that when you breathe it in through, it releases the same biochemical in the brain that many antidepressants do. So that's another added benefit of digging in the dirt. And Autumn's father used to say, "Where's your mother?" "Oh, out digging in the dirt like a hen." There's nothing better for getting rid of the blues and going outside, digging in the dirt. Plus, if you read about it, there's a grounding process that takes place with electrically in our own bodies, because believe it or not, we're full of positive and negative ions. Mm-hmm. That being said, the other kind of quick points I wanted to make about subsistence, when Autumn was asking me about getting outside and walking, even if you don't have the subsistence lifestyle, you can somewhat mimic it by trying to walk to the grocery store, and then take in the beauty around you. Take in deep breaths of air in through the nose and out through the mouth. Try to make it a hunting-gathering experience as much as possible. Also, and then back to therapy animals. I have a therapy dog in my office. The medical studies have proven without a doubt patients' blood pressure and pulse are usually at least 10 points lower with a therapy animal in the office. And then for patients themselves, whether it's an animal or other humans, the best therapy for any chronic medical problem, helping others, when you start getting involved in another person's pain or suffering, and not to even call it that, but issues and helping them, you'd be amazed at what good that does for your own medical health.
While staying grounded in your own self-care practice, because caregiver syndrome is a real thing. So what you were talking about getting grounded in the metaphysical world, we call that transmutation. And it's basically taking the energy that we've kind of accumulated and stored in our souls and in our body's physical cells, and then giving it back to Mother Earth, because Mother Earth, we come from it, and she has the power to take that and transmute it and clean the energy. You know, it's just like you plant a seed, a tree grows, and then it filters the air that we breathe, and it's a process. So back to talking about your exam rooms, what should patients do to prepare once they have an appointment scheduled with a medical professional? We've talked about writing questions before appointments, making lists of specialties, bringing a family member.
Correct. What do you say? The main thing is to do your, if it's a first time appointment with a provider, unfortunately nowadays many people are stuck with who they get because of their insurance programs of private providers. cetera. But if you have some latitude there, I would do your homework and find a physician. I when patients would ask me what's the best way to find a doctor when they're moving to another area, I say, find a nurse that works at a hospital and start asking questions. Or same thing goes for different clinics. And find a provider that you think will be willing to engage in your belief system as well, and aren't going to diminish your beliefs, because the healing process or the preventative health process begins within you. So you mm-hmm. need a partner who will listen to you. That being said, go prepared with a list of questions. You want as much information provided to the provider before your appointment as possible. You want to make sure that they have access to your records, and not just access to your old records, but that they have actually reviewed them. You want to make sure that if you've had any consultations, any lab tests, any radiographic procedures done by anybody else that you have questions or concerns on, you want to make sure that that provider has them in advance. So when you get in that room, they don't spend your 15 minutes looking for reports, because that happens all the time, even mm-hmm. in this electronic age. You want to have your entire list of medications, including all over-the-counter medications. And if possible, I've had literally patients bring bushel baskets of supplements in, literally bushel baskets. And then I've had patients have had family members go home in intensive care settings where a patient can't speak for themselves and bring in everything out of their medicine cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to bring it in, all you have to do nowadays is just take a picture of the label so we can see what's in this mystery medication. Mm-hmm. So that's super important. And then most importantly, have all of your questions written out and make sure that they all get answered. And if the physician doesn't have an answer, then you schedule a follow-up so they can think about it and research it. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be long questions, but, you know, for instance, pap smears. In the past 5 years, our screening pap smear recommendations have changed dramatically, and patients don't know where they fall. If they've been told for the past 20 years, you need a pap smear every single year, and all of a sudden they're saying, oh no, you only need one every 3 years. Oh no, you're too old for one. You don't need one anymore. There's a lot of confusion about that, and it's evolving as well. So asking those questions and getting them answered specifically to you, because it always comes down to the doctor-patient relationship. Your situation might be totally different than the woman sitting next to you in the waiting room, yet everybody is now geared to what are the latest recommendations. Mm-hmm.
What are the latest recommendations?
Oh, for pap smears?
Oh, well, no, you're just saying make sure they're up to date on what the latest recommendations are. And then
for them specifically, because they do vary.
Okay. And then what about bringing a family member or recording, asking the provider if you can record the conversation?
Correct. I take care of an elderly population predominantly, and they're from a generation where they don't like to share information, and number one. And number two, they get a lot of it wrong. They're not medically sophisticated to understand the terms, and you think that they're getting it, and they aren't. They go home, and then a day or two later, I get a call from a family member saying, what's this Medicaid? So yeah. I always encourage peace. And it doesn't have to be an elderly person. I know personally, me, if I had to go to the doctor and I've been told that I have a lump in my breast, I'd be so distracted by the worry of fearing cancer that I probably wouldn't hear 75% of what is told to me. So another set of ears and eyes, taking notes for that person is so helpful. If the provider doesn't mind recording the conversation, you can do that too. I personally did that not long ago with my horse's eye veterinarian appointment, because I wanted to make sure that I remembered everything that was said.
And it is so important to always ask, because even though, confidentiality is expected in exam room, you owe the doctor that same respect that you're working with them as a partner. And it's an energetic, balanced exchange. We only have a few minutes left. So before we wrap up, I'm going to have you on again so that we can talk about bridging the metaphysical and the mainstream in terms of spiritual health. We personally have talked a lot about the soul leaving the body, those moments when patients transition and what happens there. And that's a conversation for another time when we can get really in depth into the metaphysical. But I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And as we wrap up, I just want really quick, what are your top three tips for longevity? Just top three.
Happiness, stopping and smelling the roses. You know, just making sure, my mother has a saying, be good to yourself.
Yeah, I love that.
Really followed that advice. I always say to her, what exactly does that mean, Mom? But it does mean a lot. It means a lot to the person that's getting the advice, getting outside, breathing the fresh air, just giving thanks to God every day, even
awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Baylor. And thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to follow Golden Otter Divinations on Instagram, where you can check in and let me know about your golden moments so Spirit and I can cheer you on. Also, if you'd like to contact me or join my monthly manifesting membership, Lunar Abundance, you can go to my website, goldenotter.us. It's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal. Please take a moment to sign up for my biweekly emails and get up-to-date information on all things Golden Otter. So I want to thank my guest, Dr. Natalie Baylor, for sharing such a wealth of information. I want to thank you all for tuning into Golden Otter Radio. I had an amazing time sharing this sacred co-creation space with you. So please join me every first Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. Our next show will be Friday, August 3rd, 2018. Have a great week, and I'll feel your positive vibes back here next time. Thanks so much, Dr. Baylor.
Thank you for listening to Golden Otter Divinations, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday of every month at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Exploring where the metaphysical meets the mainstream, Golden Otter Divinations helps you draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information or to listen to this show, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.